Well, you know, we did sing a song, the song Blessed Assurance. And I don't know if you really have ever listened to the words or really thought about the words, but it says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. He's mine. He's yours. He's your personal Savior, your personal friend. He came to this world for you. I know it seems like, wow, that's pretty tough, Brother Marty, because that means we're going to have to slice them up how many billions of ways. But that's fine. Our God is a big God. He can be sliced up in a lot of different ways. But it says here, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. You really realize what that means? That foretaste? We get to sense and taste a little bit of heaven while here on earth. Anybody here ever cook? Anybody ever cook? Come on. Okay. Is anybody awake? When you cook, do you not do this? To test, to make sure it's seasoned right? Right? God gives you the same thing of your eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ, by giving you the ability to taste a little bit of it each and every day. To make sure that you know that your saltiness is still in there, because if you've lost your saltiness, guess what the Lord says? You're worthless, right? So you make sure you still got your saltiness. Make sure you're still pleasing. You get to foretaste of Jesus Christ in heaven, right here on earth. He said in His scripture, in when He taught us to pray, He says that we are asking, Lord, let it be on earth today as it is in heaven. Well, folks, some of you have smaller earths than I do, but this is your earth. I didn't say girth, I said earth, okay? But this is your earth. Your physical being is your earth. Not the soil, not the terra firma, but your earth. Let heaven rain down upon you. Let me enjoy it. Let me sink it in. Why? Because He wants you to get a foretaste of what glory is going to be all about. And we can rest in that. We can have blessed assurance. That means no doubt. Who here is ever sure of anything? There's a few things they say that we are definitely sure of in our lives, right? Death and taxes. True? And I think taxes more than anything else. We're sure that we're going to get it. Well, when you have Jesus Christ, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have assurance of heaven. You have assurance that this life is not it, but that this life is just the very beginning. And what a beautiful thought that is. Heir of salvation. Heir. Who here has ever inherited anything? Did it not feel good to inherit, even if it wasn't much, just to get something? You know, there's a movie with Steve Martin years ago called The Jerk. Do you remember the one part where he's leaving? Their marriage is breaking up, but he says, I don't need anything except this chair. He gets to take, he's an heir, that chair. He got to heir that chair. He needed that chair. Well, Jesus Christ has made us heirs. Heirs to the greatest inheritance the world could ever know. Better than any chair or lamp or I think a ashtray, all the little trinkets that he picked up, all the things of this world. See, because what the world doesn't see is that the things that we grab onto, the world can't see it. It just can't see it. We can because Christ lives inside of us. He doesn't just float around us. He has come inside of us to stay. And that's the key. The key is that Jesus Christ wants to establish His residence inside of each and every one of you here. They say, Jesus, where's your home? Well, it's inside Evelyn. It's inside Bill. It's inside Debbie. It's inside Anna. It's inside Mary Ann. It's inside the youngest child that's here today. Jesus lives there. And because He does, since He is the Son, He has received all things from His Father. And because we are His children, we receive all things through Jesus Christ. It says, why? Because He purchased our salvation through His blood. Born of His Spirit.
What a wonderful day that was. Who here remembers when you first accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How wonderful did you feel? How relieved did you feel? That you've just kind of felt like there was the weight of the world got taken off your shoulders. Sure, there might be some other stuff down the road that starts to weigh you down that we let kind of sink us a little bit. But we know this, that Jesus Christ lifted all that burden from us. It says in the book of John, 1 John, you have to go old school because we're keeping Satan locked up in that little box. That's okay. We're keeping him locked up. He's not coming out. Satan's name is Intel. In Windows, exactly. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, here's how you know that you have assurance that you have salvation through your faith in Jesus Christ. It says here, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It didn't say that this is because of His Son. It says that it is in His Son. Big word for two little letters, isn't it? If it just said because of His Son, no. Because we live in His Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty cut and dried. You're either going to resurrect to eternal life or you're going to stay dead. One of the two. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And I underlined this part because I thought that this was really, really strong. That you may know, not just have faith. Knowing transcends the faith. I married my wife. I'm just going to give you an example of faith. I married my wife with the faith that we would be loyal and faithful to each other. I now know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, my wife will never be unfaithful to me, nor will I be unfaithful to her. It has grown beyond faith to full knowledge. Does that make sense? That's what faith does. Faith is a stepping stone into 100% undeniable belief in knowledge that this is true. So it says here that you may know that you have eternal life. Undying belief. Never doubt that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. See, we are called to grow in the grace of God. Are we not? We received grace, but we are to grow in that grace. And the only way that we can grow in the grace of God is to have our faith increased to where it becomes full belief. Satan's job, other than the computer, is to come into our lives and to start to create little seeds of doubt. That, am I saved? Do I have the Holy Spirit? Was I truly ever born again? Because Scripture says, lest you're born of spirit and water, or water and spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I have people say, sit and wonder all the time, well, gee, am I truly saved? How do I know I really received the Spirit of the Lord? That's why I really have a hard time against churches that say, lest you speak with tongues or have been given this gift or been given that gift, that you haven't received the Holy Spirit. Because what happens then? You spend your entire life. If God doesn't want to give you that gift, He doesn't want to give you that gift. You know, you can't make somebody give you a gift. You ever notice that? If they're either going to want to or they're not going to want to. And if you don't receive that gift, I've seen people wonder, well, am I truly saved? Do I truly have eternal life? Do I truly have the Holy Spirit? God didn't come that we might doubt. He didn't send His Son that we might doubt whether or not that we're saved. He sent His Son so that we may know without a shadow of a doubt that we have a place in heaven waiting for us. How do we know that it's waiting for us? Because He told us so, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute. Okay? Our faith has to develop. It has to mature. Just like my faith in my wife has matured over the years. Just like our love for our spouses is not the same love as when we first married them. True? Does it evolve? Does it become more patient? All the ladies are going, oh, gosh, yes. Our love becomes much more patient. Why? Why do things mature? They have to mature. Because if you are staying still, you're stagnant. And we've all smelled stagnant water, and it doesn't smell good. So where does our faith come from? It has to come from Jesus. We can't have faith that we can take care of things on our own. The faith has to come to Jesus, or from Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12:2, as well as in Romans 17, and I'm going to combine these things. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's two forms of the word of God, the written word of God and the word of God that we receive through his Holy Spirit. Woe unto the person that only gets it from one source. Because if you only get it from one source, you're missing half the message. You're missing the little golden nuggets that the Holy Spirit will open up of the word that he gives us in written form. The insight, the wisdom, the knowledge. As we get to know Jesus Christ better, his word becomes more and more within our heart. We start to live by his word. Faith starts to grow, and we start to realize that we truly do have a blessed assurance of salvation. We have things that start to happen to us throughout our lives that make us, you know, make some people start to wonder. Their health starts to give out, and they wonder, why is God doing this to me? It's just the natural progression of life. Our bodies were not meant to be finite or infinite. They are finite. They have a certain number of days. I wish at the very beginning that God had put a little tag on our foot so we could see exactly the number of days that we had. So maybe we would live life with a little bit more sense of urgency. But especially young kids, you know, they feel like life is forever. But things happen to kids as much as they do adults. Some people wonder if they're truly saved. Some people hope that they're truly saved. Still others think that they might be saved. But all of those are wrong. If you truly have faith in Jesus Christ, there is no doubt. There is absolutely no doubt where you go. You know that your life, your eternal life, lies with the Father. You know you will warrant the resurrection. You know your name will be called in the book of life. And you know you'll be receiving a place that has been prepared for you in heaven. See, God wants us to know that we're saved. It says in 1 John, like I talked about, it said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know without a shadow of a doubt. Unwavering understanding, unwavering knowledge, unwavering assurance that you have been sealed by God. That means that you can trust Jesus when he's doing his work within you. Unfortunately, though, there are some that have gone to their grave still wondering, did I measure up? Well, let me read this to you. God's words gives us the assurance that our salvation is through his Son. Because it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to make a statement here, and some of you are going to probably agree with me, and some of you are going to vehemently disagree with me. And that's fine. Study it. Understand it. Seek the Lord in it. I was raised as a kid saying that if you do not take Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, you're going to go to the horrible pit where you will burn and suffer forever. Who here was taught that as a kid growing up? And then they would say, on the other hand, but if you love Jesus Christ and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you will live forever. Who was taught that? Who understands that in order to suffer, you have to be alive? How can this scripture right here make any sense then? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. How can you have an eternal life of suffering Isn't that supposed to be a gift? Won't you really think about this? Some of you right now are going, turning your heads. When the scripture talks about being thrown into the lake of fire, a lake of fire is all-consuming. The death that it is talking about there is a second death. The death where God takes your soul, your spirit, and it ceases to exist. We all will die a first death. True? Well, except for the very rare few who are alive when Christ comes again. Other than that, we will all suffer a first death. So we know it's not that. Because even Isaiah suffered a first death. Moses suffered a first death. Paul suffered a first death. Did not Christ suffer a first death? But what they can't suffer is the second death. And this is the death that this scripture is talking about. You have assurance that you will not die the second death, but you will rise again to eternal life because you didn't live a sinful life. You lived a life through Jesus Christ and you earned salvation. How did you earn the salvation? Simply by believing and have faith that Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. He did die on that cross. He did get raised again by the Father on the third day and ascended to heaven, that He is your personal Savior. Amen? He is yours. Hallelujah is right. He is yours. You have earned it. You didn't get paid for your sin. You got rewarded for your faith. I hope I never get paid for my sin. I'd be a multi-bazillionaire. My wife's favorite word. I would be. I would be a multi-bazillionaire. But that still doesn't stand up even close to the gift that God is giving me through His Son, Jesus Christ. And God wants us to remember that it is always through His Son, in His Son, that we have this. We have to not only just call upon Christ when we need Him, we have to live in Him, in He in us, calling upon Him all the time, having Him do His work. Because our salvation, it's not some sort of little packaged blessing. Oh, okay, here's your little tiny gift box of God. You know, the shoe box. This is not the whole entire area that God is encompassed in your life. He works so much larger around you than you'd ever know, keeping you protected, keeping the computer away from you. If we have Jesus in our lives, we have that life that is found in Him. Because it says again in that scripture, he who has the Son has life. I want you to truly understand that. Really let it sink in. Because there's things that we take for granted in our life. Oh yeah, I've got Christ. No. You have to understand that every morning that you wake up, the life that He has given you is another gift, another blessing. And that gift is to be used in its fullest each and every day. Not to walk through life on cruise control. Take it off of cruise control. Who here drives the car all the way through Sacramento on cruise control? I hope nobody. If I left it on cruise control this morning, we would have plowed into the back of rice machines. Because there was these huge. Taking up the full lane, we could not go around them. And if I had just been on cruise control, would have barreled right into the back of them. See, because there's times in your life that you need to slow down. And there are times in your life that you need to put the pedal to the metal. True? My wife's really good at putting pedal to the metal. She doesn't drive fast, she just flies really low. It's true. She says her car does not even start driving until it reaches 80. I can say that because there's no police officers in the room. But if we invite Christ into our life, He now dwells in you. In John 1:12, it says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. The right to become children of God. Now some of you might be thinking, well, Brother Marty, are you saying that once you receive Christ, you can never lose your salvation? No, not saying that. You can. You can willfully want to sin against the Holy Spirit. Woe unto if you do. But I don't understand this. I truly don't understand it. Because, see, when I played pro ball, when I got to the major leagues, the last thing I had on my mind was this thought. You know, it's nice up here, but I really hope I go back to AAA. I really hope I go back to the minor leagues. I can't take this luxury, you know, where they wait on you hand and foot. You're making 10 times the amount of money. Nah, that's not for me. So let me go back and struggle. Who here in your position, whatever you do, you know, whether you're a teacher or whether you're an accountant or whether you're, it doesn't matter, a captain, says, you know what, I just want to go back and swab the decks. I want to go back and just take care of the dock. I just want to go back and be in school. Never get out of school. We don't want to do that. We want to grow. We want to get better. Here's one thing that you can know, is that what God said he had in store for you is there. In 1 Peter 1, 5, or 4 and 5, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. That's what you have. Reserved in heaven for you. If Bob Eubanks was here today, he would say, and God has a special prize chosen just for you. But you've got to show up in order to get it. You've got to play the game. You've got to be there. You've got to stay faithful. Because it says they're reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Like I said, I can't understand why somebody would want to go from the major leagues down to the minor leagues. I can't understand why somebody who has received the gift of eternal life, has received the Holy Spirit, knows they have eternal life and a place waiting for them, someday wakes up and says, you know what, I'm tired of this. I don't want it anymore. My mind can't wrap around that. Why would you not want that? I don't know. Paul was so inspired by it that he wrote this. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, he says, for he's persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Nothing can separate you except you. Your lack of faith can separate you. It's the only thing. So when your faith starts to go down, turn to God. Turn to Christ. As stated earlier, when you do, know that he has a room, a place that already has your name on it in heaven. Did he not tell his disciples, where I go, there you will go also? Why? Because I go and prepare a place for you. Each and every one of you. Chosen. Made special. It's customized. It's not track housing. It's not a one-bedroom loft. This is a place for you, fully furnished, decorated just the way that you'd like to have it. There's even a housekeeper. Ladies are going, amen. No more crying. No more sickness. No need for doctors. Day by day, we need to enjoy the blessings of what God has given us. And day by day, we must have that assurance that we receive the salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is yours. Hold fast to him. Hold fast.